The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Joshy, you're gonna have to get the Chewy Was Right drop ready. Not yet, but I'll tell you when. Do y'all remember when Adam Schefter was on the show and Chewy asked Adam if people lie to him? And Adam was very defensive. I mean, he was like, no, I think I have a good relationship with most of these people. I think they shoot it to me straight. And it turns out, maybe not to Adam specifically, but folks be lying.
Yeah.
Folks
not be shocking.
Lying. And we mentioned earlier the Giants and the Hard Knocks and the things that have been revealed about that organization. There's a great clip out there, I believe, of the Giants watching Rome Odunze run at the combine and do some of his drill work at the combine and the conversations that they are having about him. They wanted to take him at 5, I believe.
6, yeah.
Rome went 9, so they could have had him.
Yeah, they went Malik Nabers instead.
They went Malik Nabers instead. So that'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
It looked like they really wanted Drake May.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. They
approached Elliott Wolf.
Yeah, so they were doing a lot of quarterback talk. Like, Jaden Daniels did not come off well in this thing, nope. But Drake May came off very, very well in the interview portion that they released for this off-season version of Hard Knocks with the Giants.
All right, so we have a clip from this off-season version of Hard Knocks with the Giants where the Giants GM is discussing what he plans to say when he steps in front of the podium or behind the podium in front of the microphone. Take a listen.
Say, I know Schefter reported that. So I'm just going to come out with, like, all options are on the table still with Saquon. We're going to talk to his people, but I'm not going to say we're not going to franchise him.
With Saquon, I'm just wondering if the franchise tag being off the table.
I wouldn't say the franchise tag's off the table. No, I mean, it's I think the new number, if we're going to franchise somebody for the first time at that position, is like 11.9, and his number is not much more than that. So salary cap changes your philosophy and how you're going to attack things. So that's not off the table.
The rebuttal is he's obviously expressed he doesn't want to be franchised.
Yeah.
The response to that.
I understand he doesn't want to be franchised, and I wanted to give him a lot of money a year ago, and he didn't want that, but there's nothing I could do about that. So.
Yeah, I would.
I'm not going to say that. I understand how he feels, and you know, again, we got to do what's best for the organization, and we're going to discuss as a group what we think is best moving forward.
You know, ultimately, we got to do what's best for the franchise, you know, short term and long term, and we'll take all those things into account. But look forward to meeting with his representatives.
Now, obviously, Xavier, he's been more vocal on Twitter, so it's been bringing more attention to his contract status. Have we begun discussions?
We have not.
Okay. But they'll ask, are you still high on him?
I think Xavier's a really good player. He's a young player, played 100%
of snaps, and you know, we think a lot of X, and you know, look forward to getting the negotiation period here later this week.
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
They all lie. They all lie.
Well, and it's the manicuring, and what are they going to ask us? How should we answer it? Well, if we say that, they can nail us on this. But if we say this, that's a shading of the truth. Like, Gabe, were you surprised, one, to see this, right? It feels like sometimes teams have creative control over what you're actually going to see on Hard Knocks. To me, this was none of that.
More shocked to see it, less shocked. I mean, clearly this goes on. This is why teams have PR departments to pepper the coaches, to pepper the GMs. Like, they're preparing before they go into these. Like, that was not a surprise to me. The fact that the Giants just decided to let this just go out. Like, this is what teams are afraid of when they do Hard Knocks. And this is the off-season version. This is supposed to be like the most innocuous version of Hard Knocks, where you're not getting the deep dive into some of these things. So for the Giants just to have the camera be there and still be going through this stuff and basically saying some of the quiet stuff out loud was shocking to me.
I think what was shocking was that all the stuff regarding Saquon Barkley was flat-out lies. And that's not usually what you get. You usually get like an obfuscation.
Yeah.
And a sort of dancing around it, and you can kind of read it. But when it came to Saquon Barkley, he was just not telling the truth at all. he told him he can go test the market and can go see what he's going to get. And he ends up with the Eagles, as we all know. Like, that stuff was interesting because I think Brian Gutekunst is pretty good at usually just, like, telling a version of the truth, where the Saquon stuff was just not accurate at all.
Well, any interest from you as a Packers fan in the Xavier McKinney stuff there at the very end? And he's talking about how they were going to navigate the Xavier McKinney free agency and they wanted, you know, like anything interesting there, Joshy?
I was interested in the fact that he mentioned his tweets and how they will tell us what happens on social media doesn't matter at all. But that PR guy that was sitting next to the Giants GM is clearly taking account of it. In the longer version of the clip, he goes on to talk about how just random people read body language of the GM and he has to be careful with the way he answers stuff. So that was interesting. As much as they tell us Twitter doesn't matter, it seems like random Joe Blow on the internet literally impacts what happens when they sit down to talk about PR.
Well, and that's why we have always talked about Chew. Sometimes they will float something out there and just see what the reaction is to it. Sometimes if it's a player who's gotten in some troubles, and they'll float it out via one of their reporters and they'll just see how people react to it. And then if there is a ton of blowback, then they'll claim we were never in the market for that player, or we were never really interested. That report was wrong. And it's kind of, you know, the price of doing business if you choose to be the person that puts that out there. But that's all part of the PR spin as well. Chu, were you surprised to learn that they are mining Twitter and social media to see the reactions for some of these players
Not
and contracts?
All. No. It's a self-serving business. It's how quickly can I climb the scale to benefit myself, even if I have to step over other people. And you know, I talk about my son, Dylan, who's been in the business now. I'm like, sometimes he just doesn't get it. I'm like, it is a self-serving business. People are going to do what's best for them. Okay. Ultimately. Now, it's not as bad as that sounds. There are still, if you get a good core together, they get it. But at the end of the day, every player wants to get as much money as he can. Every player wants as much. Some want it more. Some don't give a crap. I played with guys that could care less whether we win or lost. All he wants to know is that the Tuesday we're getting paid. And those guys were tough to take. Even on the Super Bowl year, we had guys like that. But it's and coaches are the same way. They lie. They lie. And they lie right to your face. And you know they're lying to your face. That's why I don't feel bad when I lie to them. You know?
What's good for the goose?
All right, wait.
Yeah.
What's the biggest lie you told the coach?
Well, there was a time me and Brett did a TV show at 10 o'clock at night, and we were a little inebriated, and Holmgren brought us in the office and asked how many beers we had.
Yep.
And I think we each said either two or three. Now, that was a lie.
You and Mike Gundy.
Yeah. Now, that was a lie. Now, we weren't driving. We had our Cato Kale in, and the only reason Brett wanted to come on is because he was grounded and Deanna wouldn't let him out.
Whomst among us, right?
So we thought it was a great idea.
Because, well, we've talked about this before.
I also lied.
The reason why we know that's a lie is because Vince Vitrano, who's over on TMJ, is the one who made the beer run for you.
He did. We also lied. The week of Mardi Gras, there was really no Brett Favre football camp. Okay.
Wait, hold on.
we just went down there because we wanted to go down there.
I don't know if that was that seems like more of a lie to the spouses than a lie to your coaches.
Yeah, the coaches kind of wanted to know too. Because I got sun poisoning down there.
Ah.
Because obviously living in Green Bay in February, not a lot of sun.
Sure.
So I went down there and it was like 80 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And my head swelled up to the point where I'm like, all right, it's so swollen that I put a hat on. Well, that pushed all the fluid to my brow line.
Oh, God.
I literally looked like a caveman. Did I tell you the story of Brett tipping over to the porta potty?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Because I want to be clear. I don't want you to be implicating yourself in any sort of issues. You didn't, like, charge anyone for this faux Brett Favre camp, did
you? No.
Oh, it's so far-fetched.
Did I ever tell you the porta potty story?
Nope.
I never told you guys that. Do we have time, Josh?
Of course we do. Yeah. Why not?
Even if we don't.
So, we are out at the football camp. One of Brett's buddies had his office right on the Mardi Gras. But the Mardi Gras starts in Mobile and goes all the way to New Orleans.
Okay.
So this was in Past Christian, which is not far from Brett's house. So his buddy owned a real estate office there. They, you know, orange fence, the whole thing.
Okay.
That they have up here for skiing things. And all they had was a porta potty. So it was a handful of guys. It was me, Brett, Frank. So we had like two or three beers. And Brett thinks Frank walks into the porta potty. Just out of the corner of his eyes, he's like, oh, Frank just went and starts shaking the thing violently. And there is crap going everywhere. Everywhere. So we back off. The guy kind of composes himself. Frank comes walking around the corner. It's not Frank in the porta potty. It was a cop. And he had turds all over him. And he just looked at Brett and he couldn't even get words out of his mouth.
Nothing happened?
No.
What?
You think something happened to Brett? Are you kidding me?
This is doo-doo. Gabe?
Yeah.
Oh, the funniest was when Frank walked around the corner of the office and we're like, oh boy, who's in the porta potty?
I can't believe nothing happened.
Nothing.
Was that so embarrassed? He just like...
What are you going to do? Shouldn't have went in there, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely his fault.
what was he thinking?
Was that also fake camp? Like there wasn't actually...
Yeah, it was all...
So that was all the same, or did you say that Brett Favre had a camp and did this multiple years?
No, there was no camp.
I understand.
Yes.
But like, did you in 1994 say, oh, we're going down for the camp, and then in 1995, oh, Brett's got his camp, and it's a fictitious camp, and that was just
your
excuse?
It's a fictitious camp.
But was it just a lie one time, or was this a lie over multiple years?
I think it was 2 years. In the 1 year, I was a free agent. And free agency started earlier back then. So I was about to sign. I had my fill of Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
But the idiots were going to Cancun. So they came onto my plane, which was going back to Chicago, because he obviously couldn't, and tried pulling me off the plane. And the stewardesses said, you have to get Frank, Brett, and all the cronies.
Do you have any idea how lucky you are that you played in the 90s?
Yes.
I mean, there's no way you could get away with a lie about a Brett Favre camp in 2024 because there would be pictures.
Yeah.
There would be tweets. There would be all of these people pushing this stuff out on social media.
Yeah.
And it'd be a little suspicious when none of that stuff showed up. There'd be pictures of you guys Mardi Gras.
I'm having a hard time believing that the people in Green Bay believed that it just so happens that during Mardi Gras, Brett Favre has this camp that the cronies are all going to. Just so happens. It's a convenient coincidence.
So what you're saying is this is one of those situations where your parents know you're lying,
yes.
But they're just so exhausted, and they're like, just do whatever.
Yeah, you come in reeking like
what do they say? It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. We use that a lot.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Top 8 at 8 coming up next. But before we do, guys, let me tell you about my friends over at Celsius Energy Drinks. Man, when I have a tough couple of days like I had, and not tough because, like, you know, it was hard, but tough like it was long. The last few days have been a little long. And so this morning, went to my refrigerator, cracked open a Celsius energy drink, took a couple swigs, and thought that'll get me through the morning. And it does. And during college football season, guys, it's what gets me through the long season. You can find Celsius at your local Pick and Save stores or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Ewald Automotive knows summer is meant to be spent outside. That's why they want to help you get in and out in about an hour. You can shop over 1,400 vehicles priced to sell during their Buys of Summer sales event, and they won't be beat on price, guaranteed. Only at Ewald. Includes their exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty with your purchase. They have 11 brands, 10 locations, one easy experience. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
The food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got today?
List of 8 things in front of me. You and Chewy guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, you're out. We open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. All-Star game coming up in Major League Baseball. That also means the Home Run Derby. And in their history, the Brewers have had 8 players participate in the Home Run Derby. Name them.
Okay. I know Prince Fielder was in the Home Run Derby. I'm just going to nail that one right at the beginning. Prince Fielder. Multiple times.
Prince Fielder, 3-time participant in the Home Run Derby. Won it in 2009. Most recent he was in was 2011.
Question.
Yes.
You have to be in the All-Star game to be in the Home Run Derby.
No.
You do not. Let's go Brawny.
Brian Braun participated in the Home Run Derby in 2008.
I don't know if there have been any recent ones.
How far does it go back?
Home Run Derby started in 1985 or 6.
That far back?
It's when the Home Run Derby started.
Okay.
Robin Yount?
Prolific home run hitter Robin Yount, that's the guess.
What year did you say it started?
It started in 85 or 86.
Okay. I think that Yount would have been before that.
Yeah.
Robin Yount was also not a home run hitter.
Carlos Lee?
El Caballo.
2005, El Caballo
a good pull.
Was in the Home Run
My
Derby.
First year covering the Milwaukee Brewers.
Let's go Jeff Jenkins.
Jeff Jenkins never participated in the Home Run Derby, although not a bad guess.
Yeah, I'm out.
Wow.
This is tough.
I think there's two names you can get here, Jen.
Two names that I can get? Jeez Louise.
Another first baseman? No.
So, first baseman I could think of are Richie Sexson, Jeremy Burnitz. Jeremy?
Number two.
Yeah, Jeremy. He's a big old guy.
Jeremy Burnitz did not participate in the home
Number
run
one.
Derby. He was also an outfielder.
Okay. Good to know.
Are you sure?
Yeah. According to the list that I saw earlier.
I see in 99, Jeremy Burnitz was there.
He was in. He started in the All-Star game.
Are you looking at the Home Run Derby?
I had a list of Brewers in the Home Run Derby, and he was not in it.
Okay.
But he was 1999. He started the All-Star game in 1999, but he was not in the Derby.
Gotcha. You're correct.
Who is on the list so far?
You guys have 3. Prince Fielder, Ryan Braun, and Carlos Lee. So we need 5 more. Or actually, yeah, 5 more. In the history of the Brewers.
Darn it!
In the history of the Brewers, 8 players have participated in the Home Run Derby.
Sunglasses at night. Dang it!
Oh!
800-990-3776. We need players to play top 8 at 8. I mean, I only would have thought of that one more. That's literally the only one I would have gotten, I think. Is that the one you thought that I would get? Joshy?
No, you guys said the name.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. Most certainly did.
This player famously hit a ball when Minute Maid used to have the pole.
It wasn't a home run, though.
It was about a 500-foot home run.
800-990-3776.
Crazy.
800-990-3776. He's so stupid. We need contestants to play. Who are the remaining Brewers who are in the home run derby?
Yep.
What years was Prince Fielder?
Prince Fielder was 2011, 2009, and 2007. Ryan Braun, 2008. Carlos Lee, 2005.
Do you watch it?
Derby?
You will?
I'll watch probably for a little bit.
Yeah. What's better, the dunk contest or the home run derby?
Different.
Probably the
derby? I think home run.
Yeah.
At this point,
like,
yeah.
How many more dunks can you do? They've all been dunked to death.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. John in Milwaukee, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I don't know, but I do know Corey Hart wears his sunglasses that night.
Yeah.
Corey Hart, 2010, participated in the Home Run Derby, actually finished third.
Was that the year he was like the last guy in? There was a contest one year for him to be last guy in.
Yeah, and he won. I don't know if that was the same year. Mm.
All right, John, keep it up.
What? Carlos Santana?
No, Carlos Santana did not go to the Derby for the Brewers.
All right, let's go out to... Is this Brian? Brian in Pewaukee? Brian in Pewaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
How about Greg Vaughn?
Greg Vaughn participated in two home run derbies, 1996 and 1999. He finished second in 99.
Got another one?
Yeah. Well, I will say Jeremy Burnett lost to Griffey in 99.
So that is correct. I looked it up.
So was he back in the game?
Well, so again, it wasn't. He was not on the list that I saw.
But. Yeah. So in 1999, he did finish second place.
Okay. All right. Well, you can keep rolling then with Burnett.
Ricky Weeks
participated in the Home Run Derby in 2011.
Was in the Home Run Derby. I'd forgotten all about that.
We got two more on the list.
Did we say Richie Sexton?
Yeah, I was going to say Sexton.
So Richie,
did say it, but we didn't get it.
It was not an official guess by Jen.
Yeah.
So good on you. Richie participated twice in 2002 and 2003, went back-to-back seasons, finishing fourth in 2002. Leaving us with just one more on the list of Brewers to participate in the Home Run Derby.
Yelich didn't. I don't know. Let's go Yelich. Or Jose Hernandez. Yelich.
Yelich has not participated in the Home Run Derby.
Good run.
That was a really good run.
Yep.
List is nearly complete. Let's go out to Alex in Cedarburg. Alex, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list? Just one response left.
Domingo Santana.
Did not participate in the home run.
Good energy, though. Real good energy.
That was a wild answer.
That was good energy.
Justin in Greendale, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Jesus Aguilar
participated in 2018 in the home run derby.
That was good. Fair. Very good.
He finished seventh, by the way.
He pulled a little bit of me with Burnett's, but that's okay.
Jesus Aguilar.
Yep.
All right, Justin and Greendale, you're our big winner this morning on Top 8 at 8. So are we concerned at all that your list was faulty in any other way?
I think what happened is the list put Greg Vaughn on there twice when it should have been Vaughn in 96 and Burnett's in 99.
Oh, gotcha.
What ended up happening.
Okay, well, not too bad. Yeah, not too bad. Of all of those guys, I mean, Prince Fielder was the best of them, right?
Yeah, he's the only one who won.
The fact that he was in it multiple times.
Yeah, and he won it,
obviously. I did not remember that Ricky Weeks was in it. I certainly did not remember that Jesus Aguilar was in it. But also, how has that been 5 years, 6 years? How long? Is it?
Yeah, 2018.
2004 to 2018, carry the one. So we're talking about six.
Yeah, but even
six seasons.
Before that, it would have been 7 seasons because Fielder and Weeks did it in 11 in the same year. And then it was 7 years before Aguilar. Now it's been six.
Who won it the year Sosa McGuire? Was it McGuire?
Eight. I can look that up for you.
I'll look up I'll look up the participants for that season. Searching, generating. It says Ken Griffey Jr., Jim Tomei. I was going to read off who was in it so you could guess, but fine, Gabe. That's fine. any other? Rafael Palmeiro, Moises Alou.
That's a good.
Javi Lopez?
Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez, Mark McGuire, Damian Easley, and Chipper Jones. Wow, what a
lot of Hall of Famers.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
All right, good list, Gabe. Like it. Don't like that I didn't get credit for Burnett's, but it's fine. It happens.
It does happen. In fairness, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What do you do in this situation? Just move on with your day.
You make stuff up, right?
If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the Sportsbook at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. Get the ultimate experience with dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for over 200 people, a broadcast booth, first-class bar, their new restaurant, The Kitchen, a VIP deck, and a video wall over 2,000 square feet. And if you are in a rush, they have free 20-minute reserve parking spaces near the Skywalk. They've got it all figured out. So if you haven't been to the new Sportsbook at Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee yet, what are you waiting for? Get in on the action. It's a new era of sports betting at Potawatomi.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it exceeds... It's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All right,
can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Did not think we would be talking about defensive backs this much on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. But Sauce Gardner made a confession yesterday that I believe pleased at least one member of this esteemed panel and hacked off the other. Sauce Gardner telling us, guys, that golf is in fact harder than football, tweeting that out this week. And Gabe, since you're the one that dropped it into the group text, I assume you agree with him?
Well, I just wanted to see. Every once in a while, you got to poke the bear, right?
He poked it.
Every once in a while, you see something, you're like, you know what? Let's just see what the big guy has to say about this.
Play a real position. And then you change your mind. Because if you were to rank them, quarterback, biggest wuss, corners, second biggest wuss. And that doesn't include safeties.
But is it? But quarterback's like the hardest position to play.
Toughness.
Okay.
Soreness. Grind. I mean, even when I played, DBs didn't wear any thigh pads, didn't wear any knee. All they wore were shoulder pads and a helmet, because they're not going to hit anybody. Right?
We all watched Jair. So.
Yeah. I mean, Dion, great cover guy, but he didn't even need pads. He didn't even need a helmet. Soft. Played tight end. Don't tell me golf's harder. Why would he say that?
Well, he's been taking up golf. He had a golf simulator put in his house. So to me, this is more of the new sport that you are undertaking versus the sport you've been doing since you were a kid and are now at the highest level of.
Well, when it comes to playing corner, like Sauce Gardner is one of the best natural athletes in the world, right? Like he is so high up. And you use your athleticism. So when you have these natural gifts of athleticism, yeah, playing corner probably seems pretty easy. When suddenly you're doing things and using your hand-eye coordination and trying to do things that, yes, like you said, have never done before.
I think most sports, basketball included, probably come pretty damn easy to Sauce Gardner. And golf, just because of the different nature of it, has proven to be, I think, more difficult than he expected. Obviously, athleticism helps in any sort of sport, but I just think like Sauce is big, tall, and fast. And that works in almost every sport, not that much in golf.
But would you say with golf, Gabe, to be a professional golfer, you're born with it. You're born with it. It's not something...
To a certain extent, yes.
You're born with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're an offensive lineman, you got to be big.
Yeah, but you got to
be strong.
But you got to be born with some of that, too.
Yeah, you got to be bad. You got to be bold. I remember that song like in the 90s as well. But no,
if you're born and you're 5'9", you're not playing in the NFL.
I disagree with you guys on this. This, to me, is just reps. Sauce Gardner hasn't got the reps in golf that he does in football. I mean, I don't know that Tiger Woods was born with it. His dad had him out there when he was 3 years old, you know, taking swings. Like, that to me is the difference between being at an elite level in your sport versus an elite level in another sport. I appreciate that he is saying, I thought this would be easier. It's hard. It's tough. But if he had started playing golf when he started playing football, golf wouldn't be tough.
Even if you start playing golf at three, you're not going to be guaranteed a professional.
You either have it or you don't. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking professional, just good.
What are we basing this on?
Experience?
Yeah.
You either have it or you don't when it comes to golf, but not any of the other sports?
Like, well, no, I think that's true for just about everything.
The best I ever was, and I played a lot, and I worked at it, was a four. I could never be better than a four. Not with my body.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Not with my... There's no way.
Well, yeah, it's like anything else. Some bodies are more predisposed to be good at certain things,
correct,
right? I wouldn't throw you up on a horse either and say...
No, that poor horse.
Hey,
I might throw the horse on top of you and see how that goes.
You get about 1,000 reps and you'll be good at jockeying. No, I mean, but I can't give any other explanation to this than you've been working at football your whole life, bud. It comes easy to you now. It's muscle memory now. Golf, there's different swings for different clubs. There's different, you got to read the green. All the things that you have gotten good at, Gabe, which you weren't good at when you started out, which is where Sauce Gardner is in his golf journey.
Yeah, but again, like, Sauce is only going to get so good. Like, it's not, he's got zero, like, there's a ceiling to how good he can
be. How do you explain all of the football players who get so good at golf? Like, again, there's an athleticism required to be good at it, but like, you look at these pro-ams, you look at the Tahoe event, that's all golfers. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's always...
But
they could not
even... The hockey
even,
players are the ones who win it every year.
If you took those players you just named off and put them on Augusta when the pros play, they're shooting 90.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe higher than 90. With as slick as they have them?
Well, the best example is Steph Curry, who has won the Tahoe event, but he played in a secondary level, so now it's the Corn Ferry Tour, but he played an event, I think he like sponsored or whatever, and he shot a 70. He was like 2 under par, and then blew up the next day, and this is like a super easy course with like an 84.
Okay, but I'm going to also go back to the masses. Everybody plays golf. You're going to have a golf outing this week and next week and the next week. And while there will be a lot of crossover as far as who's involved in it, it's still going to be a lot of different people who are capable of playing golf. Maybe not the highest level, but that play golf regularly. What's the percentage of those guys that could play football at the high level? Very, very small. This feels like that conversation we had a few weeks ago between basketball and football, trying to say which one was harder. Like, golf can't be harder than football because so many more people play golf. Again, not at the elite level, but play the sport. Whereas all of those people could never even sniff a football field.
There's a lot of people who play high school. I mean, a lot of those people that you reference are very, very bad at golf. I mean, anybody could just pick up a club. You need to, you can go play golf by yourself right now. You can't play football by yourself. Like, even if you want to play at a recreational level, like, you need a bunch of other people in order to play. Like, but again, it's just like anything else. I mean, Kendrick Perkins was a tremendous NBA athlete. You see him try to take batting practice at Fenway the other day? Don't. You can't unsee it.
Yeah.
You can't unsee it. Like, and this is one of this is an elite level athlete. He's a champion in the NBA, and just swinging a bat, that no, please, never again.
Joshy, which is harder?
I think harder is to play in the NFL because the requirements to be there is simply just way different. You have to be one of very, very few in terms of body type. But I think when it comes to golf, like, isn't it true, Gabe, that like a mid-single digit a handicap is better than 90% of golfers on earth?
Correct.
And those people aren't sniffing.
No.
No.
Aren't
Josh,
sniffing.
There are scratch golfers. There are...
Yes.
Plus twos, mm-hmm. plus threes that could never play on the PGA Tour. That's how good those guys are. And I think they're born with it. I really do.
To get all the way to that level, there's some sort of innate talent. Yeah.
The shots they can make, I mean, it's just, you're born with that just type of, I don't know what it is.
Just like Sauce Gardner's born with his speed.
Correct.
You know, like, he can max out that speed, mm-hmm. but, you know, you are only going to get so fast, right?
Correct. Yes.
You were never going to be a 4-3 guy.
But Chewy, you also said that to play. You also said to play.
How far?
Football.
4-3 in the 30? I could do that.
In the 30, you're just knocking 10 off. Huh? Yeah. You have said though you got to be a little crazy to play football.
You
got
to be nuts. You got to not so much anymore. But to tell you the truth, I couldn't imagine going down the middle of the field, not having your head taken off. That's it. The problem is not catching the ball. The problem is, you know, when the ball's coming to you and you're going to catch it, that you are just going to get your clock cleaned, you know?
And you got to somehow hold on.
You just got to, everything's, you just got to be in a space where you're like, okay, I may die. Who knows? May break my shoulder.
So how
might break my arm.
Gabe, I guarantee you've never stepped out on the golf course and thought, I could die. Might break my arm.
There was
shoulder.
The one time I got a rattlesnake warning. Said
yeah,
don't go in there.
Really?
Well, you know, you play defined. Some.
There yeah. was the time that Ashton let go of the club and it.
Yeah. See, I think golf would be much more interesting.
Playing in a lightning storm. Hold up
no,
that golf club.
No. Golf
see what
would be much more interesting if, for one shot in each nine, your partner can just clean your club. So you have to think about it in the back of your head, like. Is this the time he's going
to
drill
Wait,
me?
Does he have to yell blitz? Like you get to the top
no,
and all of a sudden
you just
you're...
You get Brian Sipe. Where you just get drilled from the back. Now that would be fair.
But you've got a time, if you're the one doing the blitzing, you got to get time so you don't get whacked with the club. Because that happened when
you go low.
When we were out in Vegas for the WPGA Pro-Am back in March, we were driving up to a hole. I saw a guy, he was driving back holding his jaw. Blood was gushing. Like, he was going to hit his shot, and his buddy, like, hit his tee shot or whatever, and then just, like, took it back to be like, oh, it must have hit a bad shot, took his club back to, like, take another practice swing, and poof, and got the guy right in the face. Lost teeth. I think he broke his jaw.
I showed you what happened to Angie when she went to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Because
my daughter hit her, not only hit her once in the head, hit her twice.
With a golf club?
Yeah. Oh. So in her takeaway, she hit her. Because she was down on her knee placing and getting ready to place another ball, and then on her follow through,
got
her,
hit her again.
Tiger Woods has been hit with golf clubs.
22 stitches.
Gave.
I mean, I don't know.
That his car.
I mean, that was his car more than him, and that led him into a fire hydrant.
When you're in an accident, don't you say I got hit?
You know? Are you talking when his wife hit him in the head? Oh,
yeah, welcome aboard.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. Here. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this.
Mentality, a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Because it does not matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy, and that's where Mentality can help. If you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy that you feel like you once had, maybe a year or two ago. It doesn't have to be that way. That's what I thought. Oh, I'm getting older. This is the way it is. It doesn't have to be that way. I work with Mentality, and now I've got the energy to attack my day and do all the different shows that I do. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments, lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
We only had one thing on the poll today.
What's that?
Could you drink 1 gallon of water a day? 80% of people say yes.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem, and maybe we should have talked about this when Jen was still here because she's the one who proposed it. Like, when you think of 1 gallon and you think of it, like, it becomes intimidating when you drink it the way Chewy does. Because, again, Chewy just drank 100 ounces in the course of 2.5 hours. Or 2 hours and 15 minutes, because that thing's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you start drinking when you get here around 6:30.
But I've been hydrating my entire life. My entire life. For a large part of my life, I've been hydrating. So it doesn't bother me at all.
When you do that, like, that becomes intimidating. Like, I mean, 16 ounces of water is no big deal.
I hate water. Water's disgusting. It's just no.
It is the world's least offensive substance.
It has no taste.
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
I want taste.
Yeah, which is why you put
why
your meal in
why can't you open
it?
The faucet and if you want grape, you got grape. You wait, want so strawberry?
You know you could have this installed in your house.
You can?
So how do you work that out? Yeah, with the city. How do you work that out?
No,
like
I'm
when
saying,
you buy your house?
Like we have the water unit here.
Oh, yeah.
You could just have something that contained flavors that were much similar to Mio that you put in your water.
But you got
to
put it in, though. Why can't it just be in?
Again, so what? You think you worked that out with this?
I would think I move into
an apartment, and that's a part of the box that I check. Hey, what flavor of water would you like?
You got Spectrum, you got Verizon, and you got
I mean, we're still trying to get Mio. The lead out of water pipes here in Milwaukee. So before we get flavors, I think we should work on that.
I would stand to reason that most people would rather have something flavored than just drinking water.
So I've got a couple Mio packs, and I'll do 16 ounces in the morning before I leave. But I will say this, ever since we moved into our house and the refrigerator we have has like the water dispenser on it,
yeah,
my water intake has definitely gone up.
Yeah, but there should be something you could put in there that's just strawberry water.
Yeah, it's called Mio.
Yeah, again, it's not that hard to take the Mio,
squeeze. You got to go to the store and buy it. There's some work that goes along with that. I mean, come on.
I know your Amazon privileges get taken away, but you could just set up where it showed up at your house.
Yeah.
On like a schedule, once a week.
Okay.
Be a subscription service. Yeah.
I would think most people don't like water.
That's a poll.
Do you like water? Yes or no? Well, do you like the taste of water, I think, is what we need to specifically
There is pull. No taste. There is no taste to water. Am I right?
But there is some sort of taste because when you get bottled water,
it's like you eat pasta with nothing on it. No sauce. Yeah, there's no taste.
You talk to us about borscht and the dumplings or whatever that have no flavor. That's what you like.
They have. It's just bland flavor, but there's flavor.
I mean, isn't water flavor bland?
Any other polls here?
No, that's all we had. Well, all we polled today was about water. That was the only thing we felt important enough to poll. Although maybe we'll poll, which do you think is harder, football or golf?
All right. How many days till camp?
So they report next week. First practice is 11 days away. Yeah. So rookies, quarterbacks, I think report next Wednesday.
Are you ready?
So here's the thing. We're all going to get excited about camp. Here's the dirty little secret about camp. It's just the same as now. There are fake things we get excited about, but there's not real things to get excited about.
People talk. They go out in the field. Jordan Love might have an extension. It's good stuff.
Well, the Jordan Love extension thing is, I'm expecting that at Friday next week.
It happens on the thing they have
up
there.
That's
the
when they're going to make it official. But I mean,
guaranteed. Take it to the bank. It's already done. I'm telling you, it's done. In principle, it's done.
Will the Itoush coming your way next? 94.5 ESPN.